All right, thanks for coming to my talk. My name is Leo Bastos. I'm a PhD student at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, working with Richard Ferguson. And I'm going to be sharing with you today some data that I have comparing some different types of sensors and trying to assess nitrogen stress and also seeing how those sensors can be used and compare to remediate that stress. So if you go to the literature, we can see that there are many studies comparing different types of active sensors and how they relate to a variable rate nitrogen application. So for example, GreenSeeker and CropCircle are two examples of those active sensors. But there are not too many examples of that comparison between active and passive sensors. But now, why would that be important? Why would we want to know that? The unmanned aerial systems are really taking off, clearly. And we expect that more type of data coming from passive sensors, which are the type of sensors mostly that are mounted on UAVs at this point mostly. We expect that those type of data will increasingly have a place for management. And so with that, my study objectives were to assess the correlation between an active and a passive sensor and looking at two different vegetation indices within those sensors at B12 growth stage in corn. And then using those vegetation indices to generate a variable rate nitrogen and seeing how that rate is compared between different sensors. If that decision making is similar for different sensors. And then, okay, so now, you know, we generate a variable rate, we have this number, but then how do you know if that's a good number or not? So the way that we went about assessing the accuracy of that recommendation was to compare that total rate with the agronomic optimal nitrogen rate. So this study here, we have six site years. As far as sites, it's mostly concentrated in these two. So in Nebraska, one of the sites is a sandy loam and the other one is a silt loam. In all of these site years that we had, it was a randomized complete block design with four blocks, and the treatment design was a one-way with a check and then multiple nitrogen rates ranging from 65 to 215 depending on the site. And this is just, I just wanted to show you, to give you a brief overview of why the sites are different and how they're different. So we had one site year that was in near Central City. It's a sandy loam. And then all the other site years were in South Central Agricultural Lab, which is a silt loam. And then the other difference I wanted to point out here is that we have different years there, but importantly, the passive sensor used. So for the site years 1 through 3, the passive sensor was Tetracam. For site year 4, it was Red Edge, Microsense Red Edge. And for site years 5 and 6 was Sequoia. And the active sensor for all of these was RapidScan CS45. So the active sensor remained the same. The passive changed as we were acquiring more equipment and better equipment to work with. So, okay, we're talking about a whole bunch of, or four different sensors, and it is important to keep in mind the wavelengths that we're using and how they're centering for each one of those sensors. I'm not going to talk too much about it, besides the fact that I want to call your attention to Tetracam on the red edge. So our Tetracam was set up, the red edge band was centered at 760 nanometers, and if you compare across the other sensors, it is pretty high. The others will go from 730 to 717 nanometers. And that has an implication on our data. That's why I'm bringing this up now. So again, recall to this when we get to that part. So with the active sensor, for my study, was a small plot research. So we just pretty much walked up and down the rows holding the rapid scan. But with the passive sensor, it was UAV mounted. And so, you know, we got imagery, and I think the previous speakers had a really good explanation of how the process works, and it's very similar. I just want to walk you through what I did for mine. So after it's stitched and georeferenced and stitched, we process it in a way that, so this would be like an NDRE, which is a vegetation index, would be an NDRE map here for one of the sites in one date. So we use all the bands that we have for that passive sensor plus a couple of the vegetation indices to create, so we use that k-means to create a classification layer. So here, as you can see on the map as A, we may have some soil background in the plot. And because at the end I want to have one average value for each plot, it's important if there are soil pixels there, I want to remove them before I average. And so on map B here, we use k-means to classify all those pixels. And it's, I think you cannot really see, but so clusters 1 and 2 here are plant, and 3 and 4 are non-plant, mostly soil, maybe some shadow as well. So after that point, that I know that 1 and 2 is plant and 3 and 4 are not, I reclassify that B map. And so everything that was 1 and 2 I make as 1, and everything that was 3 and 4 becomes NA. And then I multiply C by A, and I get D. So now you can see that D does not have those pixels that we believe is soil. And so now when we average, we don't have that influence. So now here on E, I bring the shapefile of the plot scheme for this field. Then I make a negative buffer to exclude the outer two rows. And then I get an average from those, from that negative buffer. And then at this point here, I have one average NDRE value per plot. And this is what I use to compare with the tabular data that comes from the rabbit skin. All right, so I think other people already talked about this, so very quickly go through. We have this reflectance data that we can get from either passive or active sensors, but now how do we get from this to a recommendation? So these sensors, they give you data at the specific discrete bins, and then we combine those different bins in a vegetation index, and then we plug that, and then we use this vegetation index to calculate a sufficiency index, which is pretty much that vegetation index of the field that you think may be deficient divided by the vegetation index from a part of the field that you think is not sufficient. So you're comparing something that you don't know how much has to something you're assuming it is sufficient. And then we plug that into an algorithm. In my case, was the Holland-Shepherds algorithm. And then at the end of that, you get a matching rate recommendation. All right, so let's jump into the results here. So we're going to follow this layout of plot pretty much throughout my presentation. So we have the, in this case, passive sensor vegetation index value on the y-axis and active sensor vegetation index on the x-axis. And then we have different panels here, one for NDRE, another one for NDVI, so two different vegetation indices. And if you just look at those plots, if you can ignore the tables for now, you can see that NDRE does not look good, right? It's just like not working right. And one of the things why it didn't work right, these three site ears here is 1, 2, and 3, and those are the ones that we use TetraCam as the passive sensor. And so what happened is TetraCam having that red edge band higher in the spectrum, it was very difficult to find differences using their edge being so high in the spectrum. And so that's why we see very little variation in the passive axis, but we still do see on the variation of the active. And another thing of this site that I want you to keep in mind while we discuss this results here is, we had 6 site years, and you would think probably we got at least some good years there that we could get some good comparisons. The thing is, so that Sandy, the Sandy Loam site, the first site year, it was too stressed. Even our highest end rate was not sufficient. And on the other hand, all the other 5 years, we didn't quite see an action response. So keep in mind that these site years here could have been better as far as assessing those relationships. But let's come down to those tables now. So if you look at the NDRE table, we see that for site years 1, 4, 5, and 6, it was significant. That regression line for a given site year, but very small R square. So they're really not really strongly correlated in this case. And for NDVI, we see that R square for the first site year is pretty high, but it kind of like stays in this medium and even very low correlation for other site years. So as far as vegetation indices, it's really not looking like we were expecting to see more correlation, and we're not seeing that. Okay, so I kind of jumped all the way now to the variable rate application part. So, you know, we got those vegetation indices that I just showed, calculate sufficiency index, use the algorithm, and now we have a recommendation here. Very interestingly, the recommendation using those vegetation indices that we just saw that were not very well correlated, the rate that we're creating from those indices are have a lot better correlation than those indices themselves. So here we have on the y-axis a passive sensor variable rate in kilograms per hectare, and on the x we have the active sensor variable rate in nitrogen. And so, you know, if you just look at those plots, that blue line is the regression line, and then the line that is thinner is the one-to-one ratio or one-to-one relationship. So we see that it's not really bad, and specifically if we come down to the tables here, we see that for NDRE, we have pretty good R-squares and significant models for 4 out of the 6 sites, and NDVI the same pattern. So vegetation indices were not very well correlated, but when we come this all the way to the variable rate that they're generating, they are very well correlated. And well, here I just wanted to show you how we calculated agronomic optimal nitrogen rate. We just, after we harvested those fields, we knew how much we applied pre-plant and what was the grain yield. We just ran a model and selected the one that had the best fit. So now I'm going to show you this type of plot 4 times, one for each of the sites. So here what we have is the x-axis is pre-plant nitrogen rate, is what we applied pre-plant. And then we have two different color bars there. The brown one represents that pre-plant end rate. The green one represents what the sensor is recommending to apply. And on the y-axis, we have the total. So it would be the pre-plant plus the side dress. And for this first site year here, also this blue line here represents the AONR for that field. And so we see that for the first site year, no combination of vegetation index and sensor approached the AONR. And that's because even our highest end rate, which we were expecting was going to be sufficient, was actually also deficient in this field. For site year two, it's a little bit different story. So here we see that if you just compare the NDRE and NDVI, we see that for the zero N treatment, NDRE overall recommends a little bit higher than NDVI. And also, so now that AONR line is a lot lower because these fields were not as responsive. And so we see that so NDRE passive sensor was recommending very closely for the check to that AONR. But then when we got to low to medium end rates here, the passive NDRE is recommending higher than the AONR, whereas the active NDRE is getting pretty close to that. Some stuff there, I forgot. And site year 3 is very similar as far as how it relates. So NDRE as well was recommending higher than NDVI for both sensors, and active NDRE being able to reduce that rate at the medium to low to medium and pre-plant apply rates, but the NDRE passive was really getting closer to the, if you look at the zero N. And for site year 4, we see that if you use NDRE, regardless of sensor type, it was getting pretty close to that AONR, so it was reaching that point that we wanted. So we see that NDRE values and NDVI, any of the NDRE or NDVI values were not very well correlated for none of the site years, but then when we get to the variable rate recommendation, we see that they were very well correlated, especially for sites 1, 4, 5, and 6. And we see that for that first site year, no combination of sensor or vegetation index approach AONR, but for the other ones, NDRE from the active was better predicting how much was needed for the zero end, whereas the NDRE from the passive was better predicting for the low to medium end rates. And, you know, this is just some thoughts that we have that we really struggled with the first idea because all of our treatments were nitrogen deficient. Also, using Tetracam, the red adjunct on our Tetracam was too high, and that caused some issues in the data as well. But this can, even though with all this, we still see that when we use those different types of sensors, especially if you use NDRE, we were getting very close to that AONR for three side years that I showed here. And that's all I had. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Any questions for Leo?
Yes. So in my studies, I did not have a comparison of a year that I used both. So as far as data quality and decision making, I don't have data to support that comment. The way that we're set up in our lab, it's a lot easier to operate the Sequoia because it's mounted on the EB, which is very user friendly and very automated. We have the Red Edge mounted on a multi-rotor that is not as modern, and so from the data collection standpoint, in our setup, the EB would be the Sequoia on the EB would be the easiest way to collect data.
Any other questions? No? One more? Yeah, go for it.
To do the mosaicing, you're asking? Right. So again, in our group, what we use is PIX4D to do that. And so, you know, there's a lot of magic that happens behind the scenes that we really don't know what it is or what it does. But we are, I think, at this point, we're just have the faith that it's doing a good job. And so we leave that part to the software.
No other questions? All right. Let's thank you. Thank you.